intelligent.schwab.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, coming up today, we're going to maybe talk about open primaries. We're certainly going to talk about Rudy Giuliani's appearance last night on CNN. You know, some days things don't go as planned. Today we had hoped to have another in our series of interviews with the Tampa mayoral candidates. And today we were going to have former police chief Jane Castor be on the air. Unfortunately, she got ill last night after the forum that took place in downtown Tampa. So she backed out. Her staff contacted me last night and said she wasn't feeling well and would rather not do the interview today. So we've tried to reschedule it for next week. We've had several of the Tampa mayoral candidates on the show already, including Mike Suarez was on yesterday. Ed Taranchik was on last week. We've also heard from Topher Morrison, and we've heard from David Straz on this program. I'm going to try to get all the candidates on before the March 5th election, but sometimes we set things up in advance and things fall through. So the second plan today was to talk about open primaries. There's a new study out in which Florida voters were asked their thoughts about open primaries, and I was going to talk about that on the first part of today's program. But it turns out that the guest is not available, that we had planned to do that. So two strikes down, and both were going to be good topics today. It looks like what we're going to do is open up the phones for most of the show. You know, sometimes I work hours and hours and hours trying to get these guests on, and it doesn't always work out. Sometimes at the last minute, things fall through. So that's where we're at now. I was hoping to do two really great topics today. There's still one more topic, though, that we could talk about, and that is Rudy Giuliani's appearance last night on CNN. Giuliani is the personal attorney of President Trump, and he's defending him against some of the allegations, especially he'll be one of the attorneys that defends against some of the allegations that, if there are allegations uncovered in the Mueller investigation. Well, he made some controversial statements last night on CNN. Now, before we hear those statements, let's listen to what President Trump has said about the question of collusion. Some people think that President Trump may have colluded with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election. This has been something that the president has been asked about over and over again for the past 2 years. Let's hear some of what President Trump has said in the last 2 years about a possible Russian collusion with him and his campaign during the 2016 election.
Well, I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt, and there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign. But I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country. I think we have a very divided country because of that and many other things. So I can tell you that we want to bring this great country of ours together, John.
And why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? And will you consider extraditing the 12 Russian officials that were indicted last week by a U.S. grand jury?
Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. But as you know, the whole concept of that came up perhaps a little bit before, but it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which frankly, they should have been able to win because the Electoral College is much more advantageous for Democrats, as you know, than it is to Republicans. We won the Electoral College by a lot, 306 to 223, I believe. And that was a well-fought, that was a well-fought battle. We did a great job. And frankly, I'm going to let the president speak to the second part of your question. But just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign.
Well, that's President Trump.
It's false reporting.
President Trump continuously saying over the past 2 years that there was no collusion between him and his campaign. Now, hold that thought, because we're going to go back to the original point right now. So we are going to talk about Rudy Giuliani and what he said on CNN last night. But hold your thought about collusions and all that, because we're joined now by John Updike, who is president of a group called Open Primaries. It's a group that wants to allow independent voters and not people who are not affiliated with any political party to vote in primary elections. And John, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Hi, Rob. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me a little bit about the history of your organization.
Sure. Well, the open primaries issue has been being worked on kind of on the margins for the last 15, 16 years in California and New York and other places. I founded Open Primaries in 2014 as the issue began to gain more traction, and there were people around the country that wanted to pursue the issue. Independent voters have been pushing for inclusion in the first round of elections for many years. And in 2016, during the presidential primaries, the issue became mainstream. There were protests, there were press conferences, there was a ton of news coverage from New York to Florida to Arizona, when millions of voters who wanted to vote in the presidential primaries were locked out of participating, and it made front page news. So now we're working with activists and philanthropists and business leaders and community leaders all over the country to make a change.
So what percent of Americans are not affiliated with any of the two major political parties?
Well, the most recent Gallup poll, when they asked people, how do you identify Democrat, Republican, or Independent, the number's 43%. That varies state to state, because states have different voter registration practices. In Florida, 27% of the voters are registered to vote as independent voters, and that number is going through the roof. It's the fastest growing segment of the electorate by far.
Now, the Republicans and Democrats both have primary elections. Usually Greens and Libertarians, some of the third parties, they don't really have primary elections around the country, so they're really not a factor in this question, right? Yeah.
Well, actually, they are, and in two ways. One is that the form of open primary that we're pushing for, that's been enacted in Nebraska, in Washington, and California, involves all voters. It's called a top two open primary. So instead of having a Democratic primary and a Republican primary, you have one public primary. All the candidates are on the ballot, and all the voters get to participate. So if you're a registered Green Party member, you can go into the primary, and you can choose a Democrat for Assembly and a Republican for State Senate and a Green Party candidate for U.S. Senate. You have complete freedom from among all the candidates, and that's true for all the voters. And then the most popular candidates go on to the general election. Parties are no longer guaranteed a place on the ballot. They have to compete. All the candidates and all the parties have to compete in the first round in order to get a slot on the November ballot. And that system is working very well in California, Washington, and Nebraska. And there's people in Florida and other states who want to bring that model out around the country.
All right. So in that scenario, you could have two Republicans or two Democrats who get the top two amounts of votes, and they would be running against each other in the general.
Exactly.
Okay.
All exactly. Right.
But, you know, I was getting to the point, though, that in a sense, we as taxpayers subsidize the Republican and the Democratic parties to have these closed primaries. That is that if I'm let's say that I'm a Republican, and I like the Democratic candidates better. Not likely, but I like the Democratic candidates better. I can't join in the Democratic primary. Nor if I'm, let's say, I'm a Libertarian or a Green, I can't show up on primary election day and say, "Okay, I want to get involved in the Republican primary election. I want to vote. So we subsidize through tax dollars this really closed club, this private club.
Yes, and it's nationally, it's about $250 million that are spent on these primaries that are... You see, the parties want to have it both ways. They want to say, hey, these are private elections. You know, you wouldn't let members of the Rotary Club vote in the elections of the Kiwanis Club. That doesn't make any sense. These are private elections, and we're private organizations. But then they turn around and they send a bill to the taxpayers, and these elections are conducted, they're administered by public officials, they're on public polling booths, and they're paid for by the tax dollars. And we're actually in court right now in the state of New Mexico to say that's an illegal use of public funds. It's like building a highway and then only letting certain people drive on that highway. It doesn't work. It's very un-American. It should be unconstitutional.
Well, our guest is John Updike, and he is with a group called Open Primaries. They've just issued a study of Florida voters on what Florida voters think about open primaries. And, John, let me just go into this for a moment. Tell us what the survey found that you did of Florida voters regarding this question about whether or not they favor opening up primaries to all voters.
Sure. And the survey was conducted by our organization, Open Primaries, in partnership with a Florida organization called Florida Fair and Open Primaries, which is a statewide grassroots organization that's been working for years to push the issue at the grassroots level. We found, I think, two important things. One is that upwards of 80% of Floridians are looking for political leadership that is about bringing people together, crossing the aisle, finding ways to govern and to campaign that are not about dividing people and putting them in silos, but about uniting people and finding creative ways to innovate and solve problems. The second thing we found is that 70% of Floridians would like the Democratic and Republican parties to allow independent voters to participate in the presidential primaries in 2020, and 64% of Floridians want to move to a top-two system for state and federal primaries. There's deep support, there's broad support, and it cuts across partisan lines. Democrats, Republicans, and independents all want to reform the primary system so it's inclusive of every voter.
Now, those are pretty big numbers. 69% believe the state's current closed primary system is unfair to independent voters. As you said, 27% of the Florida electorate. And then
right.
70% of Floridians want the Republican Democratic parties to open up their 2020 presidential primaries to independent voters. What would it take to have that done?
Well, here's the funny thing. The parties could do it simply by changing their rules. There's no need to change the law. If the parties say we want to allow the 3.5 million independents to participate in the presidential primaries, they could change their party rules. And the state would have to comply. And the reason they would have to comply is due to a court ruling that came out of the Supreme Court that says if the purpose of a primary is to select a party nominee, which the presidential primaries are, the parties can determine who can and can't participate. So for president, we're going to pressure the Democrats and Republicans to simply change their party rules. That's all that has to happen. For state and federal primaries, we have to put a referendum on the ballot, and the voters have to pass that with 60% of the vote in 2020, and that's what we're working on.
And you would go to the party conventions and ask them to change the rules at one of the conventions before 2020, the state party convention?
Yeah, it's not easy. We're going to be, you know, looking for ways to convince party leadership on both the Democratic and the Republican side to do that. And, you know, the Democratic National Committee passed rules at their summer convention last summer in Chicago, encouraging state parties to enact rules that make it easier for people to vote in primaries. There's already a controversy in the Republican Party about whether they're going to have primaries at all. There's some people in the RNC that want to close down the primaries and prevent anyone from challenging President Trump. So this is a controversial issue. We don't expect it to be easy. But nonetheless, these are taxpayer-funded elections, and we think we're going to find some allies in both parties that, are going to be willing to go to bat for us.
So I heard you say in an earlier answer that, this would bring people together. Are you suggesting that candidates now would have to be more broad in their appeal than just an appeal to, let's say, a Republican base during the primary or Democratic base during the primary, that now during the primary they would have to have a wide-ranging view on issues that would have at least the approval of 51% of the voters in that state?
Yeah, and this isn't theoretical. In California, we've seen this. In Washington, we've seen this. In Nebraska, we've seen this. I've talked to elected officials in all three states, and what they say to me, some of them are very conservative. Some of them are very progressive. Some of them are some mix of those. But what they all say is that for them to get elected, they need to go out and talk to voters in their district, voters that agree with them, voters that disagree with them, voters in their own party, voters in different parties, voters in no party. In order to get elected in an open system, you can't just be in a bubble. You can't just talk to your core base. You have to go out and build a coalition and communicate and include and connect with voters in your district. And that is a good thing. That is positive. That is an antidote to the hyper-partisanship, the scorched earth politics of Washington, D.C. right now.
Now, the cost to the public aside, couldn't Democrats and Republicans say, look, one of the benefits of membership in our party is that you get to vote in a closed primary election and that you get to make a decision as long as you register as either a Democrat or Republican. That's the benefit of membership in the club.
Well, they make that argument. And people aren't buying it. People don't want to join parties. Parties are just seen as anachronistic, as outdated. People want mobility. They want to be able to vote for the best candidate. And there's all kinds of different reasons. In Florida, you have people coming from failed states like Venezuela, and they don't want to join a political party. They have very negative experiences of that. Young people today, millennials, when they turn 18, 50, 60, in some states, 70% of them are saying they want to be independent. That's just part of the culture right now. So the parties are free to make their arguments, but as long as these are taxpayer-funded elections and the parties are private organizations, voters should not be required to join a party in order to participate. They should be allowed to join a party. Of course they should have that freedom. And the party should be able to, campaign and raise money and recruit candidates and do all the things they're doing. But to make a condition of being able to vote a requirement that you join a political party, well, that's something much more akin to, Soviet Russia than the United States.
Our guest is John Updike. He's with a national election reform organization called Open Primaries, and we're talking about a new survey that just came out showing widespread support for open primaries, not the closed primary system that we have here in Florida right now. And this is WMNF in Tampa. We were getting a bunch of emails. Here's one email that says, didn't Governor LePage in Maine complain that an open election there was stolen?
I believe that what you are referring to, though I'm not sure, is that Maine voters enacted a new election system called ranked choice voting. In that system, voters don't just vote for one candidate, they rank their choices. And Governor LePage did not support that. The people of Maine supported it, and they enacted it, and they defended it when the legislature tried to overturn it. And Governor LePage was not happy with that. But the voters of Maine, look, the voters of the country are looking to shake things up. They're tired of the status quo. They're tired of elections that are run by insiders for insiders. They want to experiment and try new systems, and that's what happened in Maine. That's what people in Florida are looking at. People are looking at all kinds of different solutions to this problem.
John, did you survey, when you did the survey in Florida, did you survey all demographic groups? I mean, was it this?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What'd you find?
Yeah, we surveyed independents, Democrats, and Republicans, young people, old people, middle-aged people, African-Americans, Latinos, Asians, Caucasians. And this is an issue that is not by any means It enjoys broad public support from, you know, deeply conservative senior citizens to deeply progressive millennials. There is a commitment to democracy, to inclusion, to a level playing field that is not an ideological issue at all. It's an issue of process, of fairness, and inclusion, and people support that across the board. That's what we found.
John, if people are interested in finding out more about open primaries and maybe find the people here in Florida that are trying to get open primaries, how can they do that?
Go to Florida Fair and Open Primaries, FFAOP.org. You can also go to openprimaries.org. Sign up, sign a petition, get involved. You can also go to allvotersvote.org, which is our campaign committee, which is emerging for 2020. Lots of ways to get connected. Sign up on all three, and you'll start getting communications and news about efforts that we're going to take this year to get things going for 2020.
Well, John Opdyke, thanks for joining us on short notice. Great to have you here.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, John. All right. Well, we'll pay attention to the issue. John Opdyke is with a national group called Open Primaries, and you can find the local affiliate of that group at floridafairandopenprimaries.org. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go back and listen back to what President Trump said about whether or not there was collusion between him or his campaign during the 2016 election. Here's some of what he said last year.
Well, I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt, and there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country. I think we have a very divided country because of that and many other things. So I can tell you that we want to bring this great country of ours together, John.
And why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? And will you consider extraditing the 12 Russian officials that were indicted last week by a U.S. grand jury?
Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. But as you know, the whole concept of that came up perhaps a little bit before, but it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which, frankly, they should have been able to win because the Electoral College is much more advantageous for Democrats, as you know, than it is to Republicans. We won the Electoral College by a lot, 306 to 223, I believe. And that was a well-fought battle. We did a great job. And frankly, I'm going to let the president speak to the second part of your question. But just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign.
Well, that was President Trump in 2017 discussing whether or not there was collusion between him or his campaign in Russia. He said there was zero collusion. There was no collusion. There was no collusion with the campaign. You heard him explain that. And there's probably 100 or maybe 200 or 300 times where the president has said that. Somebody who's also said that, is Rudy Giuliani. But last night, he was on CNN, and he was being asked about this question again. But Rudy Giuliani seems to have changed his tune. And this is what we're going to talk about. And call us up at 813-239-9663. You can also email into the studio your thoughts at dj@wmnf.org. Here's Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney, last night with Chris Cuomo on CNN.
Mayor, false reporting is saying that... David,
look at the
he
yield.
He had done tremendous damage
Mr.
by
Mayor,
the time they did that. The amount of false reporting about this case is despicable.
Mr. Mayor, false reporting is saying that nobody in the campaign had any contacts with Russia. False reporting is saying that there has been no suggestion of any kind of collusion between the campaign and any Russians. Because now you have Paul Manafort giving poll data
that winds up
leading to this coincidence.
Well, you just misstated my position. I never said there was no collusion between the campaign or between people in the campaign.
Yes,
I have no idea if I have not. I said the President of the United States. There is not a single bit of evidence. The President of the United States committed the only crime you could commit here, conspired with the Russians to hack the DNC.
First of all, crime is not the bar of accountability for a president. It's about what you knew,
well, he didn't
what was
with
right
Russia
and
either.
What was wrong, and what did you deceive about. Those are going to be major considerations.
The president did not.
He said nobody had any contact. Tons of
whatever
people had contact. Nobody colluded. The guy running his campaign.
He didn't say
was
nobody.
Was working on an issue
he
at the same time
didn't.
As the convention.
He said he didn't. He didn't say nobody. How would you know that nobody in your campaign?
He actually did say that, Rudy. He said nobody,
said
and then he said, as far as I know.
That, he said it in a. Well, as far as he knows, that's true.
I don't know that it's true.
The president knows, and as far as I know...
How did Paul Manafort do all these things and nobody else knew?
He was only there for 6 months or 4 months.
He was there for the convention when they changed the platform.
Yeah, and he was...
He gave the polling data, Cambridge Analytica. You don't have the same questions about them that you do about the dossier.
And they ended up... How about reporting this? And they ended up with a stronger platform on Ukraine than they started with
by
the time they were finished.
They wanted
to.
They wanted to put in there that we would give lethal... help with lethal weaponry, and they changed it to soften it.
And they took it out, and then they put back in that they were going to give substantial help to
Ukraine.
Right,
but not the same.
Which was not in the Democratic platform, by the way.
It was softened. Who did it, and why they did it, we don't yet know.
And the president had no knowledge of that. I happen to know that.
All right, Rudy Giuliani last night on CNN with Chris Cuomo saying that the president never said, and Giuliani, first of all, saying there was... He never said that there was no collusion between the campaign or the people in the campaign. And then Giuliani said, the president said that he didn't collude, but he didn't say that the campaign didn't collude. What do you think? 813-239-9663. To Giuliani's point that the president never said that the campaign didn't collude, we just heard the president say... The campaign didn't collude. And there are a lot of sound bites like that. So what is Giuliani up to? Or what is his credibility? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. And if you want to weigh in on any of these topics, Jeff's in Newport Richie. He says, if independents want to vote in a primary, what's the problem with registering for the party that they want to vote for? Yeah, you can register, I think, for a different party up to 30 days before the election, but you're locked in if you decide, the week of the election that you like the slate of candidates on the other side, or you'd like to vote for the slate of candidates on the other side. You can't do that. You can't change your party registration. So maybe it should be easier to change your party registration. What do you think? 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And here's Tony. He says, the Republicans in the U.S. Senate yesterday blocked an effort to continue U.S. economic sanctions on one of Putin's favorite oligarchs named Oleg Deripaska. The oligarch worked closely with Paul Manafort, and the Trump administration is trying to lift the sanctions against him. Senator Marco Rubio, believe it or not, voted with the Democrats. Not surprisingly, Rick Scott voted with Trump to end sanctions against Deripaska's shady operations. Call Scott's office and let him know that we're watching. Yeah, that's true. I saw that in the newspaper this morning. Tony, thanks a lot for that. Rick Scott siding with the president and wanting to lift economic sanctions on one of President Putin's favorite oligarchs. And Marco Rubio saying no, no. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Nick in Seminole. Hi, Nick. You're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob, I'd just like to encourage all the ladies out there to not attend a women's march unless you're a Jew hater, because it's run by Palestinian Jew haters, and I'm sure you're aware of that. Have a good day, WMNF.
Yeah, all right. Well, there's Nick the provocateur calling in. 813-239-9663. There is going to be a big women's march in Orlando this weekend, and there's going to be a women's march in Washington, D.C. So those are both going on this week. And Nick alluding to the fact that one of the organizers of the Women's March the first time was Linda Sarsour, who is a Palestinian human rights activist. And, you know, you heard what Nick said about Palestinian human rights activists. That's his position. 813-239-9663. Just terrible, terrible language there, Nick. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Terry writes this: if Trump's new guy gets to decide what the public hears, the investigation is a moot point, much like Nixon offering edited transcripts of the tapes before having to surrender them. That's Terry, who's out there in cyberspace. Adam writes this, and Terry is referring to the new attorney general whose confirmation hearings are going on in Washington. Adam writes this: these people cannot be any more of a joke. We've gone from no one had any contact with Russians to, yeah, maybe there was collusion, but it wasn't directly Trump himself. The mob boss is never the one doing the dirty work. That doesn't mean that they can't get taken down for conspiracy, though. Trump will likely survive, but Don Jr. and Kushner ought to be worried, writes Adam. James Lyles is our phone producer today. We're going to go to Abraham in Tampa. Abraham, you're on WMNF.
Abraham. Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is my actually my second day listening to your station, first time caller.
Well, thank you for that.
And thanks for taking my call. I don't know, you know, I got a couple of points. You know, first of all, about the shutdown thing, you know, Trump, you know, he called this thing. He started it. He's the one that said he was going to do it. Then he said he would own it. Then he went ahead and did it. And now he doesn't want to own it. You know, I mean, that's typical Trump, right? And then the second point that I have about the border wall is that, you know, you've got these guys on your other radio, on your competitive radio stations, I guess, the conservative radio stations. I call them the unholy trinity of Mike Gallagher and Dennis Prager and that other guy. Anyway, they say, oh, well, you know, Obama and Hillary Clinton, when they were senators, they voted for the wall. But yes and no, you know, they kind of voted for the wall. What they voted for back in 2006, and I think the listeners should know this, was that they voted for a wall in different places along the border. And they what they did was they voted for different places along the wall that equaled a total amount of a little less than 700 miles, not this 2,200 miles all the way across, you know the Mexico border. And also a lot of that funding was going to go towards drones, more border patrol officers, planes flying over, things like that.
Yeah,
so,
and Abraham, yeah, it's clear that President Trump wants a concrete wall that's 30 or 50 feet high or whatever, and I'll just read the back in 2006 there was a vote passed by the Republican Congress, signed by President Bush, but also voted on by some Democrats. The act would authorize more vehicle barriers, checkpoints, and lighting to curb illegal immigration, and the use of advanced technology such as satellites and unmanned aerial vehicles. PolitiFact looked at this question of whether or not Senator Obama and Schumer voted for it, and then Clinton voted for it, for a border wall. This is a statement made in April by Mick Mulvaney. And that's half true. They did vote for a higher security, but they didn't vote for the kind of wall that President Trump is calling for. And President Trump is calling for some ginormous thing made out of concrete. Now he's backed away. He wants steel slats, but still, it's a lot different.
I'm just trying to
fact check this a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to make it out like, oh well, you know, Obama and Hillary and Schumer and whoever else voted for the wall. Well, they didn't. Well, you know, they didn't vote for the, like you said, they didn't vote for the type of wall that
that they're claiming to be. Another, you know, just more of their BS and more of their lies. And, you know, and this thing with Giuliani, man, this guy, what a disappointment. I mean, everybody thought this guy was such a kind of a hero and kind of somebody to look up with after the 9/11 attacks, you know, and everything when he was
how confident Abraham would you be of Rudy Giuliani being your personal attorney right now? How confident would you be that he is sharp of mind, of sound mind, has his story straight, would be an advocate, a tough advocate for you in court? How confident?
Not at all, because all the guy does is distort the facts, which, you know, I know it's his job to, you know, any attorney, it's probably their job to kind of do that to a certain degree. They have to protect their client. But this guy is just outright lying, you know, is what he's doing, as Trump does, and as, the press secretary does. I mean, Trump must be paying Giuliani a lot of money.
Okay.
And he must be paying Sarah Huckabee Sanders a lot more. I mean, can you imagine having to almost on a daily basis going on national TV, well, really worldwide TV, and having to lie through your teeth every single day?
And changing the story, too, not being consistent.
$1 million, man.
Yeah, all right, Abraham, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, brother. I appreciate your time.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay.
John writes this. Maybe you've seen the headlines of Rand Paul, the conservative senator who supposedly abhors socialized medicine, is going to Canada to have a hernia repaired. Interesting how his opposition to socialized medicine fades when he is the person seeking treatment. Yeah, I saw that story, and I wanted to find out more because I read about that hospital. That hospital is part of the government insurance plan. Canada has socialized insurance. That's what they've socialized. They haven't socialized the doctors or the hospitals, but they have said there's really no reason to have an insurance company between you and your health care. So Canada has government insurance companies in all the provinces. There is no deductible for getting health care in Canada. And it's interesting that Rand Paul, who during the debates about medicine, always talked about death panels, and when you have a country like Canada, you don't get great health care. It's interesting that he's going to Canada to get health care. I think that's fascinating. Well, the number to call, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Ron writes this, Giuliani just put out this statement after obviously having spoken with Trump, who said, make sure you mention Hillary's collusion with Russia. That's Ron in Sarasota. So Ron, thank you for that. DeMarco writes this, open primaries should be the law. Closed primaries are voter suppression. And Rudy Giuliani has no credibility. He's a distraction from the fascist takeover of democracy in the U.S., writes DeMarco. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And Tom in Sarasota says, I love the way someone like that guy that called about Jew haters. It's always amusing to me that the ones that call someone a hater don't listen to themselves. Sounded sort of like he was a Palestinian hater. That's Tom in Sarasota. Tom, thank you for that. Nick is a provocateur, and he calls and usually does not want to engage in a conversation. But Tom, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. And if you want to comment about any of the topics raised so far, Rudy Giuliani's statement on CNN last night, open primaries. If you want to talk about Rand Paul going to Canada for health care, you can call us up. Here's an email from... Imad, this person says, Clinton sold the Democratic Party to the banks. Citizens United transferred the title. We now have the only Republican Party liberal and Republican Party conservative, and the party is messed up and can't do anything. Do you think there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans? That's what Imad is saying. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you're on WMNF.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call. I need some help here. You know, I'm kind of old and fuzzy in the mind and all of this. Have we decided now that Rick Scott, our senator, as well as Mr. Trump can be called oligarchs? I mean, they're awfully rich, both of them, aren't they? Or is it only the Russians who have oligarchs?
Well, let's see. What is the definition of an oligarch in your mind, Elizabeth? Let me look.
Someone who's very rich. That's
yeah, but they also have power too, don't they?
That I don't know. I've only heard I only recognize that they are being declared very rich. Do they have power, the oligarch? I don't know about the Russian ones.
Well,
another question.
Let me just read the definition of oligarch.
Is
a very rich business leader with a great deal of political influence. And I would say yes to both Scott and Trump, okay. If that is simply the definition.
Okay. All right. Let's call them all oligarchs then. I mean, I think the American folks kind of think of oligarchs as being foreigners, you know, people who don't really count here in America. Let's be truthful about this now. There was something else I was going to ask. Oh, I don't know. My wandering mild mind. I lose track of things, and I'm sorry that I bother you with my silly questions, but I get good information. Probably the only place I get it from, listening to the programs here on WMNF.
Well, thanks for that, Elizabeth. Thank you.
And I thank you kindly for being here.
I'm sure you'll remember what it was, too. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Oh, it'll come back to me.
It will. It will.
Bye.
Let's go to Gerald in Tampa. Gerald, you're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
I'm good.
Yes, sir. Just heard you ask about whether Republicans and Democrats were the same.
Yeah.
Let me just take a little bit back in my personal history. I unfortunately thought I was a Republican. I voted for Ronald Reagan. And then I changed my party affiliation to Democrat. I was a born-again Democrat. Then I watched what they did with Ollie North and that bunch. And I've come to figure out, I've got a good explanation between the difference between Democrats and Republicans.
Okay.
Republicans will go into a bank with no mask, with a gun, and rob the bank. Democrats, they're not nearly that bad, but they will stand outside as lookouts and drive the getaway car.
Okay. All right. So you don't think there's any difference between the Republicans and Democrats?
No, there's a difference. There's absolute difference. But it's just a matter of degree.
That Republicans are bolder than Democrats? Is that what you're saying?
More vicious.
More vicious. Okay. All right.
More vicious.
You know, if you had a choice of having Democrats or Republicans appointing judges to the Supreme Court or to any court, which would you rather have?
Well, there was no question. Democrats, of course.
So there is a difference.
There's a difference. There is definitely a difference. But the Democratic Party, over the last 20 years, has been pretty much in lockstep with Republicans. Because you vote, let's just look at presidential politics. You can vote for a Democrat or Republican, but you're going to get a continuation of war. None of them are anti-war. Looking back at Clinton, you know, he opened up the floodgates for everything that's happening now. So there is a difference, but on a day-to-day basis, there's not a whole lot of difference. Now, you know, what you're talking about with Supreme Court, with what we just went through, the two justices, no doubt what we're going to end up with the Supreme Court now. But what I'd like is, what is it, OAC, is it? No, AOC, that lady from
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, yeah.
Oh, she is absolutely wonderful. That's the kind of people that the Democrats need to go to. I mean, I am so excited about all these ladies getting in there and that are real progressives, not just I write a progressive in front of my name and I'm a progressive now. They're actually talking the talk and walking the walk. So I'm excited for that part of the Democratic Party. Yes.
All right, Gerald, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
All right, people are chiming in on all sorts of topics today. And if there's something that you want to add to our conversation, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. You can also send in an email to the studio here at dj@wmnf.org. Elio writes this, well, Giuliani just about confessed they were guilty. The look on his face on TV was precious. It's the same look you see on other geriatrics when they realize the fart they let out was a little more than they bargained for. That's Elio's, boy, I'll tell you. And then Barry writes this regarding the Women's March. One of the organizers, Tamika Mallory, writes Barry, also has close ties with Louis Farrakhan and refuses to denounce Farrakhan's anti-Semitism. Lots of progressive Jewish women have a problem with this. It's not as simple as Linda Sarsour being Palestinian, writes Barry. Barry, thank you for your thoughts. And Bill writes this. Bill, you know, people are getting real coarse in their language. I'm just going to say Bill did not like our caller, Nick. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Ron's in West Tampa. And he says, Giuliani has become Trump's lapdog, and I do not believe he lives in the real world, but defends Trump like Sarah Huckabee does. Rudy is a liar, writes Ron in West Tampa. And let's go to Charles. Charles, where are you? Hey, Charles. You're on WMNF.
Okay. The problem I see that nobody's talking about is all the government employees and the employees of the private companies that service the government who are now at the mercy of the banks, the credit card companies, and the loan sharks, and nobody's talking about it. It's another gift to the money.
Yeah, all those laid-off workers, they're in dire straits right now.
Indeed.
Yeah. So
I think we ought to discuss pretty locally.
So, where do you think this is going to head? Where do you think what do you think is going to happen between President Trump and the leadership in Congress?
Another stalemate. The House will do what we think is right. The Senate will say, "Oh, we can't do anything at all," and the President will be standing there smiling.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like there is no movement, yet lots and lots of families and people, individuals, are in dire straits because of the lack of paychecks and the government shutdown. And, you know, I was talking to one of the people that works at Tampa International Airport last night, though. She said that there was really no problem at Tampa International Airport. They said their wait time was still about 11 minutes, which was their average before the shutdown. But in places like Miami, there's long lines at TIA screening as some of the workers are calling in sick as a way to protest this lack of a paycheck.
Yeah, but they can't strike.
Yeah, they can't strike, right. But they can still call in sick, which is a kind of a slow-motion strike.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, we should focus more on it, Charles, and we will.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Charles, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Hi, Kevin, you're on WMNF.
Hello, Rob. Hey, great program once again. I just wanted to kind of throw my two cents in about the government employees that aren't getting paid that are forced to go to work. You know, even if you were working for the post office or something like that, You definitely cannot strike. You know, you sign that piece of paper when you go to work for anything that's got anything to do with the government. And, you know, that is a bad thing because you give up that right. But they do that knowing that they're going to get, you know, steady pay raises and there's some good benefits, I mean, you know, for a government job. So the reason that people aren't able to strike is because they want that job. So, you know, they're doing everything that they can. And I just wish that the Democratic leadership would expose the hypocrisy of Trump claiming that this was his shutdown and then trying to, you know, throw all the blame back on the Democrats. I think that's pretty, I don't understand why more people don't see it. And then the other thing you mentioned the other day, where are the Trump supporters that are not getting paid that are still on board with him shutting down the government for the border wall? I'm still waiting, as I'm sure you are, to hear from them.
Yeah, you know, I think the polls are showing, though, that people do think they take the president at his word, that he said that this is his shutdown in that famous Oval Office meeting with Pelosi and Schumer. I think most of the polls say that the president is getting the blame for the shutdown. The president's not feeling the pain, though. I mean, I don't think he has any relatives that are going without paychecks. So he has no idea what it's like to go live paycheck to paycheck.
Right. You know, and I think that if this was, like, say, the month before the election, there is one real strong faction that will never, and I do mean this, they will never leave Trump no matter what. And that's the Christian evangelical right wing that believes the end of times is a good thing so that they can all get raptured and go to heaven. Hey, I'm sorry if I offend some of the Christian listeners here, but, you know, look into what I'm saying and tell me that it's not true. These people actually will stand by Trump as he brings about the end of the world. I'm sorry, but I got to say that. I've been wanting to say it for a while.
So all right,
hope
Kevin.
I didn't hurt anybody's feelings.
All right,
you.
Kevin, we'll see. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. We played some sound bites from evangelicals who say that President Trump is chosen by God. We've played those sound bites, so I don't think Kevin's that far off. Let's go to Rudy in Tampa. Rudy, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering what your take is on Cohen admitting he paid somebody to rig the poll.
I thought that was a weird story, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and the Wall Street Journal reported that President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, paid a guy to try to influence some of the early polls in the presidential election. These were online polls from places like MSNBC and Fox and other places. He paid an IT firm. One of the numbers I heard was $50,000,
yeah,
but that
mean,
yeah, John Gallagher, owner of IT firm Redfinch Solutions, told the Wall Street Journal that he showed up at Trump Tower in 2015 to try to collect the $50,000 owed to him, and then Michael Cohen handed him a blue Walmart bag containing
a Walmart bag,
$12,000 to $13,000 in cash,
yeah,
and randomly a boxing glove that Mr. Cohen said had been worn by a Brazilian mixed martial arts fighter.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, that's in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Interesting story. I laugh because you got to be really desperate to pay an IT guy and apparently he wasn't that successful in making the polls show Trump was on top.
Yeah, because he was still losing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. You got to be pretty desperate to spend that amount
day.
Of cash.
All right, man.
All right, Rudy. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rick in Parrish. Rick, you're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Good. Listen, I want to talk about something that I think you brought up, or maybe John Gilmore. I'm not really sure. But I think it should be a giant story. I heard, it was actually this morning on MNF, it was a soundbite NPR, and it was Ann Coulter, and she was saying that she consults regularly with President Trump. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, you got a media personality, which is Donald Trump, consulting with other media personalities from a particular network, that being Fox. Mm-hmm. Now, I watched a little bit of Fox, which is really like taking one for the team. And I'm wondering, like, why isn't this a huge story over, you know, serving McDonald's in the White House? I mean, this is chilling.
Well, isn't, I mean, the president's insistence that this wall, this money for this wall, this $5.7 billion be borrowed, and the taxpayers be forced to eventually pay it back over, you know, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
This wall money is really being pushed by Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and others in conservative media. They're telling the president, don't knuckle under. This is a promise you made. If you knuckle under, you're going to lose the base, and you're definitely going to lose the 2020 election. But the base is not the American public. Limbaugh's not the American public.
Correct.
The American public says, at least the polls I've seen, maybe I've not seen all the polls, but the polls I've seen say they don't want the wall, and they don't believe it's going to work, and that most drugs, for instance, are smuggled in through vehicles. They're not carried over the border. So, you know, you're right. Why does the president listen to conservative media, and why does he live in that bubble?
Yeah, I mean, we've never had that before. I mean, you talk about the president of the United States, supposedly the most powerful person in the world, taking advice from a TV network. And these guys, you know, it's not like the guys on your show on the station. These aren't journalists. They're
radio personalities or TV personalities that are just, you know, playing towards a base, which is diminishing. And it's running our policy. I mean, they're making policy.
Well, maybe we should do more shows about it. I think that's an important issue. And I don't think, you know, Rush Limbaugh plays golf in the afternoon. I don't know what his credibility is when it comes to stopping drug trafficking from Mexico. I don't know if he's an expert on that. Rick, thanks.
I don't think he is.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call.
Okay, take care, brother.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. We're out of time. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program with Shelley Reback. And-